All right, so the NBA draft went down last night, and as always, some of the suits on these guys, it's the best every single year.
Unreal.
It's the best. Like, Banchero goes first overall. He's in a purple suit. He looked like the Joker, basically, walking around last night.
But what was hanging off of it? There was like
that's what I don't understand, Noodles. Like, hockey, MLB, football, basketball, these guys haven't made money in their lives, and they have a $400,000 chain on. Like, does the agents buy that for?
Wow.
And who the hell knows how much money they have to begin with? But it just seems like the agent's saying, I'm going to just front you this, and you're going to hook me up after.
Well, Banchero went first overall. He's making a fortune. Like, he's already, what's he worth? Like, he could walk into any bank in America and say, I want $30 million cash. They'd probably be like, here you go.
Well,
pay us back. Thank
he
you.
Probably has shoe deals and stuff already done and all of that type of stuff you can get advances for. And I think this year was that first year of that league, that overtime, where it was like the top 30 players in America that were getting paid like six figures. And they're all like 15 years old or in high school. And so it's pretty there's money now to be made before you make it there. And you know, like the NFL, like these guys in college now.
They're making money, man. That's right. Like, the report's going to come out what Arch Manning made to go to Texas. But it is going to, whatever the highest amount you can make, that's what he just made.
Yeah.
I remember when I lived in North Carolina, I went to my buddy. He had a giant flower shop. And I went in the back and I was sitting waiting for him. And there was a dude that was 7 feet tall just sitting around. And I said to my buddy, I'm like, does that guy play basketball for NC State? He goes, yeah, he just kind of helps out around here. I said, oh, yeah, really? And I just said, oh, okay, and I walked out. I was like, I think I know what the deal on that is.
You don't have to put two and two together.
If your buddy from the flower shop was a donor for the team, that kid who...
I don't know. Maybe it wasn't even a flower shop. It was maybe a golf shop. It was a golf shop, I think.
Golf shop. I love it.
But think about what's going on. That's against the state's big program.
God,
but Duke or, you know, like North Carolina or whatever it is, well, Kansas, Kentucky, it's probably outrageous money for boosters.
What was the movie that Shaq was in? What was
Blue
that called? Blue Chips. Remember
that? Nick Nolte just freaking on people all the time.
Yeah,
that was a great movie.
There was boosters handing cash left and right.
Oh, that's Penny Hardaway was in that. Shaq was in that. I don't know who the other guy was. All right, here's Bobby Marks of ESPN. You saw him all over TSN last night up here and, of course, on ESPN with coverage of the draft, and he's back on Overdrive. How you doing, Bobby?
I'm good, guys. How's it going?
We're doing well. It didn't feel like an overly suspenseful evening last night. I guess there was suspense with the first pick where Banchero goes over Smith. But outside of that, it was somewhat of a formality. That was my read on it anyway. How did you feel about the the beginning of the draft, and was there any shock value in terms of who went first?
Yeah, I mean, I thought, you know, certainly the three players that, you know, were going in top three. It's just, I think we probably got caught off a little bit off guard based on Banchero going one and, you know, Jabari, you know, sliding to three. I thought, you know, all three were worthy of the number one pick here. I guess, you know, it's a little bit based on preference. I think Holmgren probably has certainly the most upside out of that group, and Smith and Banchero you can put on the court right now. So it was, yeah, I thought there would be a lot more player movement as far as from a trade standpoint. And we saw, I guess, a couple minor deals. We didn't see anything big, but it was, you know, not as suspenseful as we thought it was going to be.
Maybe talk about your pick at 33, you know, what you like about him, what he brings to the table, and maybe how far you think he is away from being an everyday guy.
The Raptors you're talking about. Yeah, Coloco.
Yeah, I don't think he's far away at all. I mean, he's not a, you know, an 18 or 19-year-old. He was one of the, I don't know if I've mentioned, I worked with these prospects before when they interviewed with teams to help them prepare, and I had the opportunity to work with him, and I really enjoyed my time just because, you know, he comes to the States, you know, from Africa. He lives with his sister. Basically, he's been on his own a lot. Out in California. He goes to the Sierra Canyon where LeBron's kids go. And, you know, he's a shot blocker. I think he just got to put a little bit more weight on. He's a big. He's an athletic big here. You know, played a bunch of years at Arizona. And I think he's 22 years old. So I don't think it's an 18 or 19 year old project that you're getting and played in a really good conference that you're getting right now.
Well, it feels like a prototypical Raptors pick, and I don't know if you see it the same way, Bobby, but I think there's still some raw athletic ability there that they're going to try to grow on. We saw it all over the telecast last night. He didn't start playing basketball until I think he was like 17, you know, at a more professional level. So, and he's from the same hometown as Pascal Siakam, and Pascal's got the same story. Like, his brothers played basketball. He didn't. He got into it, I think, when he was 14. So, is that your kind of read? Like, a lot of length, a lot of athleticism, raw, might take him a couple of years, but the Raptors feel comfortable in a situation like that.
Yeah, a lot of length. I mean, I thought probably a top 40 draft. I think it's, you know, when you get to, you know, 33 in that range there, I mean, I think you're looking at a guy that kind of fits your culture, that fits your development. Maybe not the best player at 33, but a guy that fits all around that you're willing to make kind of an investment in here. And that's kind of how I looked at it.
Bobby, what's your take on the OG scenario here in Toronto? There's been a lot of rumors. I think the other day I was reading about Portland hot on his trail, wanting to make that happen. Just what's your take on it, and what do you think happens?
I just think he's on a really good contract. He's a really good player, and trading him for, you know, I saw the rumors too for the seventh pick in the draft of a player that you're going to have to wait on for 2 or 3 years just didn't make sense right now.
Do you think he wants out of Toronto?
I don't think so. I mean, I think it's certainly something to monitor. You know, I mean, certainly you talk to people, you know, around that organization. That's not the that's not the indication. But you know, I mean, we're in the off season, and as you know, everything's kind of, you know, it's a honeymoon period until we start playing again, and maybe we'll see what his role is. You know, for next year. I mean, as I said, he's one of these big wings that's on a great contract here. So I think it's certainly something to monitor. I don't think it's, you know, I didn't think it was worth moving him for, you know, a top seven pick.
With Bobby Marks of ESPN, I don't think it's ever a good sign of the way your fans feel about the direction of your team when you have to issue a statement after the draft to explain yourself. And that's what the president of the Knicks had to do last night, trying to explain all the different moves.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, Leon Rose, I guess he issued a statement being like, hey, stick with us. You know, we did this for, we got all these picks coming up, 11 in the first round, 11 in the second round over the next 7 years. We got financial flexibility. So, I mean, that was one of the stories of the night, was the fact that the Knicks were moving around the way that they did and ultimately never ended up picking anyone. What's up with this team? I mean, what's your read on the Knicks and how close they are to actually being competitive?
Talk.
Well, I mean, I think they're kind of, you know, going against how teams are building rosters, where a lot of teams build them through the draft. You saw certainly Golden State and Boston. I feel like there's kind of some pressure to win now based off what happened a few years ago. I understand when you're picking at 11, if there's somebody that not there that you don't feel, you know, could help now that you move off. I just was, you know, I'm curious to see what's next. I mean, they got three picks. Two of them they'll likely never see, you know, because there's so much protection on it from away in Washington and in Detroit and the Milwaukee ones in 2025. But you created cap space, right? But I don't know, what is that going towards? Is it going towards Jalen Brunson? Probably an overpay for him. Probably not Kyrie. So that's the big thing as far as, you know, we'll see in a week from now or, you know, 2 weeks from now, what's next. But I think when you go through a year where, you know, you're below 500 and you have a lottery pick, there's an expectation that there's going to be a player there that's going to be part of your future. And then when you move off that, I think it certainly leaves a bitter taste in people's mouth.
With Bobby Marks of ESPN, if you had to take a guess at where Kyrie Irving is playing in 3 weeks, what would be your guess?
Brooklyn.
You think he goes back?
I just think there's so much at stake for both sides, right?
Does anybody want the guy?
There you go. That's the thing. Right. No. I mean, sure, if he wants to go to Miami for $6 million, Lakers, I'm sure, I don't even know if Masai would take him for $6 million. But that's the thing, is there's not a landing spot for him at what, you know, at his salary. think from Brooklyn's perspective, I understand why they're not going 4 years, and they're, you know, if it's 2 years and maybe years three and four based on games played here. But you have to realize what the consequences are going to be if he does go somewhere and leaves, let's say, $30 million on the table and goes to the Lakers, because then you have to deal with the Durant factor here. So I just think there's, I think everyone's just got to get through the weekend and figure out what's the best for both sides here, because as you know, like, there'll be consequences here big time as far as if he goes somewhere and then you got to deal with, Durant's future.
And you mentioned the Durant future. What do you think? I was reading that you think he might command the biggest trade package in NBA history if he insists on leaving. Where do you think he would go? What do you think? What's that?
What does that look like? How much is that?
Zach Lowe and I did a podcast this morning, and we had fun with it, and we said, hey, you know, maybe Masai calls Sean Marks about Durant, right? So what would that entail? I don't want Raptor fans going crazy. This is hypothetical. So if you're Brooklyn, you're looking, you're probably, hey, give me Scottie Barnes. I probably want Fred because I don't have Kyrie anymore. So that's where you're looking at here, is that you basically, what you do is you look at the top 25 players under the age of 25 and like, I'll take two of those and a lot of draft picks. I mean, and just kind of build from there, because here's a guy who has 4 years left on his contract without a player option, and when healthy is an MVP type level player.
Wow.
Do you think Masai would entertain him? That's the ultimate hypothetical.
He did for Kawhi with only 1 year. Right?
Wasn't that much of a price, though, like, with all the respect to DeRozan.
That's right. You're right. You're right. I mean, this will cost teams significantly if this ever came about.
Wow. Well, I kind of hope it happens, right? It'll be wild. I wouldn't put it past the NBA.
Wife wants to see me sometime in July, so, like, if it's going to happen, like, can it happen, like, in the next week and everything?
Right. Do it for Bobby and his family, please. All right, man, we'll let you go. Thank you for this.
Thanks, guys.
Bobby Marks of ESPN.
Would you? Yeah. I mean, would you even entertain, like, would Durant?
You'd have to entertain it because of what he said, that he, like, Durant, I guess the deal that he opted into, the problem is, the NBA doesn't operate like, oh, I don't have any rights, I guess I'll just come up there. Like, Durant could just say, I'm not coming. Or he gets up here and demands out. Then what are you going to do? Like, you need him to be happy enough to play here for the next 4 years. But if he's healthy, which is...
Why wouldn't he be?
Who knows?
Canada's not for everyone.
Well, exactly. Like, who knows? I don't know. I can't get a read on him. But you see, it's always the same teams. We're seeing it with Kyrie. Lakers, Clippers, Miami, you know, it's always the same six or seven teams that everyone wants to go to.
I love that. I love the tweets. Like, these guys are so in the know, Hayes. But I love when they just come out with the list. Lakers, Miami, possibly Clippers,
Dallas.
It's right. Like, is there any other teams in the league?
Right. You never see Minnesota, Sacramento, Charlotte.
About Phoenix? Phoenix is a pretty good team, aren't
Phoenix
they?
Phoenix is a pretty good team. Pretty
they're
good
never
weather
brought
down
them.
There.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They don't warm up a lot.
A lot of the it's where a lot of the guys want. It's big cities where the guys can go and that are known as great cities as well too. It's like that in the NHL. It's like that in all sports. You know,
more so in the NBA. It feels like, but I don't know. I mean, that maybe that's just a coincidence, but it would be something you'd have to entertain. Like, if Kevin Durant's available and he says I'm willing to come up, you have to look into it. I don't know what the price tag would be, because like Bobby said, if it's Barnes, Van Vliet, and, like, you know, three first-rounders, couple of pick swaps, you know, like, that's...
But are you a Durant away from being... Like, you'd need those players with Durant to be...
You know what kind of reminds me of is the Kawhi deal that, you know, he was demanding that they made for Paul George almost. And remember, Masai was like, I'm not buying this, or I'm not paying that, you know.
Right.
And look what it's done for the Clippers. Getting Paul George and Kawhi has done nothing for them. So I don't know. Yeah, you're right, though, Noodles. Like, the idea of Durant with Scottie Barnes and Van Vliet would be great.
Well, we talked about it yesterday. Like, this team needs, you know, maybe the next step after this core grows, you need a superstar to put them over the top. This league is a superstar-driven league. Like, and maybe Barnes gets there, like, as far as, you know, at cream-of-the-crop type of player. But... you need one of those guys to to be taken seriously in this league, because you look at all the competition, they all have one,
right?
Technically.
Yeah, and like Durant's not a young guy. He's had injury problems, clearly.
Right.
But I'll say this, man. Having KD in town would be interesting. Like, they're never – as great as
Burner
Kawhi
accounts.
Was, KD's on a different level in terms of, like, superstar – like, popularity. Exactly.
Yeah.
And the way he'd interact with the media up here, him on Twitter, like, everything. He's a different beast completely.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, we got to see what happens with Kyrie Irving first. I'll believe it before – you know, I want to see it before I believe it, that he's out and KD's out. They may just return to Brooklyn, and
that's like kicking the pills to the ego when you like kind of have these demands and you toss out teams that you would want to go to, and they're all like, no way, man.
Yeah,
like, and no thanks, and no
out.
Way
it's yeah. already coming out, like Woj is reporting, it's like, yeah, these teams, they're not interested. Like, it really is a kick to the ego. Like, Kyrie thinks, and when he plays, he's a superstar, but he doesn't play enough, and he comes with a ton of baggage and a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't put it past him, you know, to opt out and take – maybe he does take the $6 million to go to the Lakers or Miami. Who knows with this guy? You know, like, he took a stance on Vax. He lost $17 million, I believe, this year,
yeah.
And among other endorsements, I'm sure. Like, I'm not sure money is the highest priority for him. He'll survive if he's only making $6 million. He will. And he's the kind of guy that might do it, like buck the trend and say, forget it. I don't need the long-term deal right now. I'll go sign a one-year deal, and then next year I'll sign a long-term deal. That would be cool. Crazy, but cool.